You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we are back in good old Studio One here at PodcastDetroit.com in Royal Oak so we can practice social distancing like we're supposed to these days. It's
I can't even touch his
head. More than arms
length
apart.
He's out there somewhere,
here.
I know. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
We're good. We bumped elbows when we came into the studio.
Yep, and that's going to be the extent of it, I hope.
Yeah.
So,
well,
okay. Anyway.
We're not sharing pretzels anymore. We just that would probably be a bad idea, you know? So.
Yeah, well, pretzels and hand sanitizer just don't match.
No, it just doesn't go together. It puts a funky taste on the pretzels,
yeah,
too, right?
Sure does. So. Well, we got a great show for you today. We've got several interesting guests. Obviously, we're talking about story number one in the world right now, which is coronavirus and COVID-19, the disease it causes. And we have here an online marketing expert who's going to talk to you about moving businesses online now that all of a sudden the internet is the world. I mean, that's where you buy stuff now, at least, you know, everything but groceries. So,
well, actually on Amazon, I think Whole Foods, actually, a.k.a. Whole Wallet, you can get delivery, right?
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
But anyway, we have Justin Marshall with us. Justin is, as Matt said, a digital marketing expert. Now, the connection here is we haven't announced it yet, still in development, but we're going to be working with one of his products that he works with called CBD World News. As many of you know, we have started covering marijuana.
Yep. The business side.
Business side.
Yep.
What you all do on the recreational side, none of our business. but the CBDs are...
No product reviews then.
No product reviews.
Okay, all right.
We could have Dave do some product reviews probably, but he's smiling over there. But CBDs are what people use for medicinal purposes, you know, aches and pains and anxieties. But that's not what we're talking about today. We'll talk about that on another show. So, Justin, let's talk about what Matt mentioned is everybody is going online because we have to now. So if you're going to put your business on the internet, what are the ground rules for getting your brand discovered?
Yeah. So I just want to say it's a pleasure being on the show and thanks for having me.
Sure.
So really, I mean, it's just making sure that you have all the technology in place. You know, it's one thing to sell it out of the store, but really to move it to the internet, you need to maybe tweak your processes and make sure that everything's in the right place, the right time, and that you can actually get it outside the door and shipped as fast as possible. Everyone is expecting maybe even next day. So really looking at pricing and things like that. But from a marketing point of view, you know, there are a few things. You need to make sure that your company and organization creates an emotional connection through, like, storytelling that your audience can connect with. So Apple has creativity. Airbnb has travel experiences. Huggies has baby hugs. You know, you just really want to connect with your audience. The next thing is really collecting the data. Look at your analytics or take surveys with your clients and potential demographic, run A/B testing. And this will give you a lot of information so that you can actually target the right demographic. Just a few more things were just to create good content. And we'll talk about that probably later on. But I mean, that's one of the most important things. Just create informative content that is better than everyone else's online. And it's simple to read. And, you know, utilize video technology. You guys are doing it, you know, today. And it's just one of the best channels to really grab. And, you know, the audience is massive, as you know. And then really just looking at SEO, optimizing the content, advertising through social media, advertising on Google, and using influencers. That's a huge thing. I mean, that's why we're working together with you guys. You know, you guys have a big audience, target market. It's perfect. And then a couple other things are just retargeting. And lastly, a lot of people don't like to hear it, but give stuff away for free.
Hmm.
Well, I do that quite frequently, actually, but
not always because you want to.
No, yeah.
Right. So tell me a little bit about how Google indexes your business, and what are they looking for?
So what they're looking for is just, again, it's just really good content. Now, the person, you want the person to be able to read it and understand it, but you need a computer to understand what your company is about, what your products are, at a very easy level. So there's some tools like Google Search Console and Bing Webmasters from Microsoft, where you can actually set up a little free account and introduce your website to these search engines. So you can almost instantly get on these search engines. And then from there, it's really just making sure that each page is honed into a certain topic or a certain category or product, and then writing really solid content. There's a lot more, you know, technical things like meta title tags you can look into and schema, but really just writing is one of the most important things. So having the good content for each of the pages and then continuing to create good content in blog posts and videos and things of that nature. And then when it comes down to it, you'll build something called backlinks where other websites are linking to your content because it is so good and so strong. And this is has always been one of the most important things where it will let you rank over your competitors.
Okay. And in the short term, though, what are some of the quick wins for web presence?
Well, like I said, setting up that Search Console, Google Search Console, and Bing Webmasters is one of the best things you can do because it takes a while for search engines to find you, if they even, you know, will after a time. It could take months. So this will actually set it up a lot faster and get you on the search engine. And then from there, just like I said, creating content, something, answer questions that your audience always has. Once your audience, they'll actually find you through asking questions on Google, through Google Voice or other search engines. And then what they'll do is they'll start reading your content, and then you can have that hard sell or push them to more content or have them sign up for an email newsletter where you can grab their attention again. And then after that, I mean, it's really advertising. So you can advertise on Google for certain things, your products and services, but you can also do something called retargeting where you can have them come and they see your site, and then you can advertise per user what they looked at, what service they were interested, what content they were interested in. And you can actually show display ads or video ads or whatever kind of ads you want so that they, are reminding yourself of who they are, but also bringing them to the site to convert.
All right. What do you think people should have in mind? What should you bear in mind when you're creating this unique content?
Just really answering questions. You know, we take a lot of surveys. We talk to our sales team all the time to find out what the users, what they're asking, what the clients are asking. And we found that by answering those questions through blog posts and videos, you can actually build your organic traffic, which is not like advertising because it's free. You don't have to pay to play. And so if you keep creating these resources where you're building that organic traffic or emailing it out to people or sharing it on social media, this is really going to bring and drive your traffic across your website and e-commerce website.
Okay, and what tricks can online retailers use to get their products to rank higher?
So there's no more tricks and black hat tactics anymore. Google cracked down on that. But one of the things is the partnerships with influencers. That is one of the things that you can hire an influencer or work as a partner. And really, it could be through YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, websites, podcasts, and you could build a really decent audience and retarget them. So what happens is, you're the influencers talking about your product or, talking about how good it is, and then they drive you to your website. And like I said earlier about retargeting, you can bring them back and advertise them to them about your products and services. And then there's actually a pretty cool thing that's called a lookalike audience, where you can grab all the data of all the people that visit your website or watch you on social media, and you can create an audience that looks like them based on their interests. So you're not only advertising towards your existing audience, but a whole new, entirely audience, new audience with the same interests. That's pretty cool.
Hmm. Oh, that sounds great.
Okay. So how can people best use this time that we're in right now of this crisis to get themselves better equipped digitally when we come out on the other side of this crisis?
Yeah, that's a question. That's a great question. You know, we're with the company, you know, we're always helping others do this as well. It's where you just keep doing what you're doing, where you can. Where you can't, you make sure that, you know, you work with another company to learn what tools to use or what processes to use to really keep your efficiency at its peak. So, you know, a lot of people are using video conferencing now or ERP systems for their inventory. So they don't actually have to go into the building anymore. They can do everything from home or some remote, you know, location. Another thing is just be compassionate and transparent. You know, let the customers and followers know how your company is adapting to this change and that you're still here for them. And, you know, the thing that we're seeing more and more, you know, Elon Musk and Microsoft and a couple other companies is, you know, if you have the resources to help, it could be healthcare organizations, nonprofits, you know, do so. It could be with your own money, or it could be by assisting others when they're in a time of need, or even leveraging your audience that you've built to donate and support the others.
Yeah. So, gosh, you know, what other points should we be talking about? We worked off your list here, but what other points would you offer as an expert in this area? There might be a lot of businesses that, you know, they've thrown up a website, but it's, they're not really paying that much attention to it. And now we covered a lot of these areas already, but is there anything else you would tell these folks?
Yeah, if you're a local company, one of the most important things, if you have a website, you have a service or a product, is really look into local search engine optimization. And so that's started by setting up a Google My Business account. And what that does is it gives more information to Google and the other search engines of exactly what your company is and what they do. And then, you know, working with another company with local SEO, such as, you know, mine or someone else's, we can actually, we have partnerships with these other aggregators, they call them, where you can, you know, you're listed on Yelp, you're listed on Foursquare, you're listed on Facebook. And so the one thing that the search engines look at is that all the information is the same, meaning your business name, the address, the phone number, any contact information, the category, the vertical, things like that. And so if you have, you know, we talked about how backlinks are very important. This builds your backlink structure, and it's all highly important websites like Facebook, Yelp, and others. And what we do is we work with these companies to put your information onto these channels. It could be even 20, 50 channels. And with links to your site so that, you know, Google and Bing and DuckDuckGo and all these other search engines, they see this, they see the backlinks, they see the other channels that are pointing to you that are trustworthy. And so they see you as trustworthy and being an authoritative, you know, figure or website in your vertical. So, you know, if you are a local company, this is one of the first things, if not the first thing, that I would look into.
A Google business listing.
Yeah, they call it Google My Business.
My Business. Okay, cool. Well, that's
one to start on.
Almost out of the time, so we're going to give you a chance now to...
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug, yeah. So how can people reach out to you to work with you and acquire all that expertise you have?
Yeah, so you can reach out to me on LinkedIn.com. I believe it's /in/Justin S. Marshall. I'm always on LinkedIn, and you know, you can always find me through braveriver.com. It's BRAVERIVER.com. You know, we're full agency, could be anything from search engine optimization, full stack marketing, all the way to IT consulting. Could be helping you to move to your, you know, set up your remote location. So if anyone has questions, reach out on both channels. That'd be great.
All right. Thanks very much, Justin Marshall. We will post this on our websites. And once we get the MP4 of this, we will send you a link to it so you can push it out to your folks as well. Thanks for being with us today, Justin Marshall, online marketing expert.
Great.
We'll be back shortly. This is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch.
And you're watching MI Tech News TV.
Okay.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast.
And we have calling in from Traverse City, I hope, is Matt Bullock. You there, Matt?
Hello, hello.
Ah,
great.
Sorry, I was a little late, guys.
No problem. It's just one of them days. and so Matt is actually very graciously agreed to step in because his partner that he's working on a project with, Russell Schindler, is on a phone call right now with the European Union about his
that little organization.
Yeah. About his testing application that essentially allows people doing tests to have that really good digital chain of custody. Right, of course, right now with the COVID-19 situation, that's very, very important. We want that, and of course, it is much faster than if you do all the work in paper, right? So. Matt's part of the equation is he does tents. Now, clearly the event tent business is not doing so well right now since all the events seem to be canceled or postponed. And so what Matt has done is he's developing these tents for the professionals, the health professionals that would administer the drive-through testing. Did I get that right, Matt?
You sure did, Mike. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about what you're offering and how that would all work and everything.
Absolutely. So we are the only U.S. manufacturer of these type of products. All our competitors are manufacturing in Asia, primarily for lower cost. But what our U.S. manufacturing gives us is the ability to create new products very quickly, as we did with these medical screening tents. The containment shelters, the quarantine areas, and it also allows us to customize the graphics on these tents without having to wait, 3 weeks or 5 weeks or 6 weeks. And especially in a situation like now where the Asian supply chains are severely disrupted. So we have manufactured products and we're selling them around the nation that allow people to do the drive-through testing and that allow medical providers to create different areas for different uses outside of the hospital or the doctor's office.
And one of the things that differentiates your tents is you can print on the sides of them whatever the organization might be, health department or FEMA or whatever, right?
Exactly. On the sides or on the top. So we start with rolled substrates, and then we run it through 5-meter digital presses that are manufactured by EFI ViewTech, by Durst, which is an Italian company, ironically. And then from there, we cut it, and then we sew it. And our average turnaround time is just 3 days.
Wow, that's fast.
From the time the order is placed until when we ship it out our door.
Okay, and I imagine you're kind of busy right now, right?
We're busy. The health systems around the nation, the University of Utah placed a big order on Saturday. The Veterans Administration has actually really taken to this product, and we're taking orders for VA hospitals around the nation. Because they want and need a place to screen their potential patients before they let them into the waiting room and potentially contaminate an area or potentially get anyone else sick.
Well, and hopefully the state of Michigan, I know I reached out to the lieutenant governor and MEDC on you guys' behalf, and hopefully they have gotten back to you, right?
Yeah, are you talking about the directive from Governor Whitmer's office this morning?
No, not that. But I mean, last week I contacted the Lieutenant Governor Gilchrist, and then followed up with the MEDC. And I know Russell was saying that they had contacted him. I wasn't sure if they actually contacted you as well.
They did respond to the email, so thank you, Mike. Your access is incredible, which makes sense that, of course, the governor's office would want to be closely tied to you if you have your finger on what the tech community is doing in Michigan. But we reached out about our products and then also about a potential exemption if there was a shutdown that happened, which happened earlier today.
Yeah, 11 o'clock.
And they gave me an email address to email with our product details, and I emailed and haven't heard anything back specifically, but I believe that it's in the right hands of the right people, thanks to your efforts and your reach and your audience.
Well, so thanks. I'm trying to do the right thing here because this is, well, we're all involved in this. We're all trying to solve this problem and work it as best we can. But certainly, so it's good to know that. Now, I know one of the things that's really, well, it's sort of coincidental, I guess, is that typically in the summertime is when you're really busy. You hire a lot of students who are out of school, but now they're out of school anyway, right? So I assume you're hiring a lot of students?
We are. We have some high school kids, some college kids right now, and What we're doing at our facility is we're just absolutely being obsessive about sanitizing everything with the bleach, which is I guess the best thing that you can use, even better than the alcohol.
Yeah.
And then we are taking people's temperatures as they come into the facility, both because we want to keep people safe, but also if our manufacturing facility was to get sick, you know, actually manufacturing our products isn't something that we could do remotely. All our office workers are working remotely thanks to great technologies such as Zoom, such as Salesforce, such as our ERP. Slack has been great. But for the people that are actually cutting and assembling and sewing, they actually need to be here.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, how did you get together with Russell on this project? I mean, did you two know each other before? Or?
So Russell is just a force of nature, and Russ created the TC NewTek group that I assume you're familiar with.
Yeah, I definitely am. I'm not sure if Matt is.
No, I'm not. Let's talk about that for just a little bit.
So probably 3 or 4 years ago, Russ created a group in Traverse City by himself called TC NewTek, so Traverse City NewTek. And there was this enormous thirst and hunger for a group like this. And you know, the Chamber of Commerce wasn't doing it. The local economic development corporation wasn't doing it. So Russell did it and basically created a tech meetup for people that work remotely or are interested in technology or work in technology. And if you go to one of the monthly meetings now, I believe they're normally the first Tuesday of every month, there will easily be 200 or 300 people there.
Oh, wow.
And some nights there are pitch nights. Some nights there's a theme. It could be healthcare. It could be manufacturing. But it's just a really well-done meetup, and it's kind of the only game in town in northern Michigan for people that are interested in technology. And so Russell's really visible and really prominent in the startup community in Traverse City. And so we've gotten to know each other through his efforts there and then through some other groups that we're a part of. And when we started manufacturing these screening tents, Russ immediately came to me with the idea, and it was 100% Russell's idea. And he said, "Hey, if we could package these together, you have the ability to create the physical screening shelters, and we have the technology that could take something that really right now is very labor intensive and very manual and requires clipboards and forms and writing things down. We could really have something that could help a lot of people."
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, is there any possibility that you could shift some of this manufacturing to other parts of the country, or does it all need to be done right there in Traverse City?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure. You know what? With manufacturing, unlike some of the technology tools and systems, you know, there are different molds and tools that need to be created.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of need to, you know, even our sewing machines, right? You think, oh, well, you know, there are sewing machines around the country, but our sewing machines have specific timing and then different holders and folders that fold the fabric a certain way before it goes through the needle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not rocket science, right? We're not landing a man on the moon, but there is some specific tooling and especially some specialized knowledge. So I bet maybe that is a great question. Let me continue to think about that.
Yeah. Okay. Cause a friend of mine has some resources, in the sewing community in New York City. And she asked me if it was possible to shift there because a lot of those people are sheltering it in place and they're unemployed, as it were. So, I mean, if that's a possibility, I'd said I would mention it to you.
Well, thank you. And the need that I've heard is there's the looming shortage of the PPE, the personal protective equipment.
Right.
And there have been a lot of, you know, patterns and feel-good stories about needing people to sew masks.
Right.
The past few weeks, and what I was told by our local hospital system is that they wouldn't even accept these homemade masks, right? That because they don't know who made it, out of what material, et cetera, et cetera. But I had heard recently, and these are rumors, that stance is potentially going to shift, and that they're also potentially relaxing the standards on reuse of some of these ventilators. So I do think there is going to be the potential for people to potentially manufacture protective shields, gowns, masks, and then also the potential to sterilize and reuse protective equipment instead of having it be single use and throwing it away.
All right, I'll talk to you off air about that and give you the details. We'll see if we can make something happen in New York because they're in a lot of trouble there. So, but we only have a minute left, so this is the chance for you to talk about how can people reach out to you to talk to you about your tents and how they can acquire them.
Well, thank you, Mike. You have done so much to help us broaden the reach, but our website is www.tentcraft.com, all one word. We have the products that we're manufacturing there. We're adding more products every day. And reach out via the website is probably the best way right now. But I am very grateful to you for taking interest in what Russell's doing and kind of by proxy what we're doing.
No, again, it's a public service. Happy to do so. Thanks very much. All right. Well, that's it for this segment. This is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Roush.
And we'll be right back. We're going to be talking to Penny Melke, and she's got the drive up curbside service for her cannabis store in northern Michigan, actually in the UP. So we'll be right back with that.
Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast Podcast Detroit.
I love live shows. Huh?
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen from moment to moment.
I'm assuming you're still there, right, Penny?
I am here.
Okay. Well, we were in the commercial break. We don't hear what you hear during the commercial break, but people tell us all the time that
it sounds awful.
Radio silence or something.
Yeah, but they can't hear anything.
Yeah. It was nothing. Yeah, you don't hear anything.
Oh, okay.
Really? Right. Okay. Well, Dave's giving me that funny look here. So,
well, you missed the golden tones of Foster Brown, God rest his soul.
Yes, so, yes. Yep. So anyway, yes, let's introduce Penny. Now, this may be the first time that our troll audience, we're under the bridge, has heard of Penny. She and her husband run Northern Specialty Health been doing that forever, right?
Yeah, we started in 2013.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, medical marijuana is what you started with.
And, right.
You still have medical marijuana because I get your information, and I don't think they've okayed recreational marijuana up in your neck of the woods yet, have they?
They have not. Okay. No. We are patiently waiting.
Ah.
So where are you located physically?
We are in Houghton.
Oh, okay.
In the Keweenaw.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
Only 500 miles away.
It's farther from here than is Washington, D.C. I learned that factoid years ago.
Yes. So, but she does do CBDs and all sorts of other stuff. And right now, because she's closed off her lobby to folks coming in because of the COVID-19 situation, she's doing curbside sales. I don't know if you're doing home delivery yet. Are you doing home delivery?
We are not doing home delivery at this time. The majority of our patients travel from outside of what our potential delivery radius could be. Mm. So we're not considering it at this moment. Just because we pull people from 2 hours in every direction, we can't possibly deliver that far out.
It's too bad Grubhub or something wouldn't let you do that, right?
I know.
It's almost like an entrepreneur should figure out a way to do that. But all those unemployed, all those not working students at
Michigan Tech.
You can. Of course, that'd be a heck of a long delivery, 2 hours, right? So be
big. Right, 2 hours one way is like, you know, approximately. Yeah, people come from really far away, so but they're super happy that we have curbside and it's working out well. We closed our lobby on Saturday. Just because it was making me nervous on Friday, because we do pull people from every direction of the UP. It just felt like it was the right thing to do. But the curbside is going great. Our sales have not decreased at all. Everybody's just very thankful that we're open and that we're able to serve them at all.
Hmm.
Yeah, because right now, as you know, this morning, the governor said that shelter at home is in place for at least the next 3 weeks. Unless you have an essential. Now, I asked the Michigan Marijuana Regulatory Association to clarify this morning, right after the announcement, whether cannabis would be considered an essential kind of thing because it reduces anxieties. And as of yet, they haven't responded to me. But as soon as I get the word on that, I'll be sure to let everybody know. But I would be kind of surprised if they said no. But who knows? Stranger things.
Yeah.
You know.
They did send an email. So their MRI sent an email clarifying it, and they did say that adult use and medical are both essential, but that we have to close off our lobbies.
Oh, okay.
So subscription emails. Yeah, it just came out. I shared a poster, showed a picture of it on our Northern Specialty Health page and in the MCP Facebook group.
Okay.
But it does say that all in-person transactions are prohibited, and it has to be curbside or delivery. But it does say that medical and rec can both stay open, but no one's allowed to come in.
Well, that makes perfect sense. So, I mean, I'm happy for the industry because it's been, as you know, not so much for you because you've been around a long time, but for many of your compatriots, it's been a really rugged start for a variety of reasons.
For the recreational end of it, yeah.
And now this, you know,
yeah.
So.
Right. Well, yeah.
I mean, all we need to have go ahead.
I'd imagine a lot of people are going to be scrambling to figure out how to manage with their lobbies closed, you know. But it's possible to do it. You just have to figure out a way to have people either call ahead or order online and then figure out a waiting system in your parking lot or, you know, along the curb.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Drive-through lane.
Why don't you tell these folks, we'll use you as an example. You're one of the early pioneers of this. What would you tell your partners in this business out there that have provisioning centers, how they can handle this?
Well, we are kind of basic and old school. We don't even have online ordering set up yet, but we have an iPad. We're working on Weed Maps getting that set up. But otherwise, right now, we're just doing the old school call us. And they call us. They tell us what they want. We're able to check them into the POS system and validate them in Metric. And then when they pull up, we verify their cards that they have them with them and that they say who they are. And then we can just make the transaction in the parking lot. It's simple. It's working out quite well.
That's how it used to happen.
Yes, it still does. It still does in many places. Yes, but
everybody's chuckling about it because we're doing deals in the parking lot essentially.
Yes.
But it's because the MRA is thankfully allowing us to do that. Otherwise, these people would have nothing.
Yeah, well, you got to get like a 77 Thunderbird out there or something to make it look right or something.
Hey, man,
right,
like pull up to my window and I'll hand it to you.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of funny, but I'm thankful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, of course, I'm not sure how many, a couple dozen, I think, recreational marijuana facilities are now open, clearly not in the UP. But down here, particularly in Ann Arbor, I think we got at least a half a dozen or so open. So essentially, you would recommend they do the same procedure. They might have online sales as well going, right?
Yeah, online sales would probably, I mean, it would obviously keep your phone less tied up. You know, if people could online,
submit
their orders online, then it doesn't require a staff member to take that information over the phone and then potentially lose another phone call that's coming in the meantime.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how many incoming lines do you have and have you increased
those? We only have one right now, but we're having to put people on hold.
Okay.
And then we had a landline issue this morning where all the landlines went out. So, of course,
oh my God.
The third day when we're telling everyone to call ahead, then the phones weren't working. But they seem to be working now, something to do with our local, I don't know what happened. But
so,
of course, it happens.
If someone doesn't call ahead, can they knock on your door and talk to someone through a sliding glass window or something? Or how, is that possible?
Yeah, if somebody does not call ahead, that's also happening. They're just pulling up. We have a sign on the door that says knock, but we have a staff member watching the parking lot, and then we'll just go out to your car and take your order.
Ah.
Just like a drive-in, you know, pen and paper.
You got to put them on roller skates. Put them on roller skates and have them skate out. You know?
Yeah, the weather's not quite right for that yet.
Especially where she is.
Maybe soon. But
yeah, but we're so thankful. It's 38 degrees right now today, and it is not snowing, you know.
All right.
So at least it's
about
not
the same as
January
here,
or February. You know, we're looking at doing this coming into May, you know, or into April and maybe even longer or whatever. But we're glad that the weather is not terrible.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about how you're treating your staff during this period. Have you had to let anybody go or have you increased wages? I know some places have.
Yeah, no, we did increase, we increased wages starting the last 2-week pay period. We gave everybody a $2 raise per hour for hazard pay. I have no idea what like the national norm is or what would be expected, but we just figured that was appropriate and the staff was extremely thankful. We haven't had to decrease our hours yet and we haven't had to limit hours, but looking at our April schedule and now with what Whitmer said today, we may have to cut a few hours to try to make sure that we only have essential staff there. Like when people were coming in, sometimes we'd have four people on staff, but we may have to cut that back down to three because we don't have the traffic coming in looking at the retail items like we did in the past.
Well, and you don't have people, you know, just sort of browsing and asking questions either if you don't have a lobby, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to get you fixed up with one of our people that can improve your website and give you that e-commerce ability, and that would certainly solve a lot of problems, right?
Yeah, that would. That would be very nice. I'm trying to wrap my brain around it all. between that and maybe delivering and everything else that's going on. But yeah, cash is definitely a carrier of germs. That's what we're forced to use right now.
Yeah. That's I hope. Assuming your people probably wearing medical gloves at this point or something.
We do have gloves. They can use them if they want to. Actually, we're a collection spot for fabric. Also, one of our staff members is a sewist, and there's going to be a shortage of these fabric masks that go over the N95 masks, just to try to prolong those ones.
Right.
So we have one of our staff. We're a collection site for fabric, so we have fabric coming in, and one of our staff members is actually going to use her time at the store because we're slower. She's going to cut the patterns.
Right.
And then she's going to sell those at home. But I'm just trying to keep everybody employed. And if she can come to our store and cut fabric masks that are going to help our hospital workers, I'm all for it.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah.
What other lessons are you learning here from this? I mean, this is total chaos now and everyone's doing it on the fly, but what other recommendations would you make, I guess, to other folks out there with provisioning centers?
I would say don't wait. Just do it now. Whitmer already said that we have to do this. But, treat your staff well. Treat your patients well. Don't freak out. You know, just do the best you can to get us all through this. And make sure that the patients have medicine, and that's the most important part.
Yeah, I mean, particularly the CBD stuff. Now, you're still selling that, right?
We are. So we're taking CBD orders over the phone, too. One of our staff members actually sold a grinder in the parking lot the other day because somebody pulled up and he needed a grinder. So she came in, she brought out 3 or 4 grinders to show him, and he selected the one he wanted. And we're still selling CBD tinctures, gummies, everything. Because just because they don't have a medical card, they're still coming in to our store for those kinds of products. So they can still call ahead and get that. Or they can pull up and knock, and we'll come outside and take their orders. Because to them, that CBD is essential just as much as the medical marijuana is.
Go ahead, Matt.
I was just curious. So what do you see as the prospects? Yeah, I can get that.
Neither
out
of us can talk today. Right?
Yeah, the prospects for the industry overall in the UP. The recreational side and the other stuff.
Well, we are way behind everybody else. Comparison to like the locations that have even opted in or that even allowed medical, and especially like adult use. We don't have any licensed grows up here producing yet. Mm. There have been some licensed grows that are licensed, but I don't know if they've necessarily had product on the shelves. We're behind a little bit. We don't have the numbers that they have downstate in regards to products or stores.
How is supply? Are you getting enough supply in to handle demand?
Yeah, we're doing okay with supply. Luckily, I think because we started buying buying licensed products so early on in this game, we were able to get good relationships with some of these growers. So we have not run out of any product. And I did get confirmation also today that the transporters are still allowed to transport. So we'll be placing another order soon. And we'll just have, our transport people bring it up from downstate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know of at least a half a dozen of those. Most of them have been on the show at one time or another, yeah. I think.
All right. They've all been very wonderful to work with, all of them that we have.
Okay.
All right. So you do have a product catalog online, even though people can't order online, correct?
Yeah, we do. Like the medical products are listed on Weed Maps and on Leafly.
Okay.
We're going to be looking at getting the online ordering of medical products on Weed Maps set up. And on our website, we do have our t-shirts on there and like sweatshirts. And I don't know if we have some CBD listed on there, but not all of it. But if anybody has any questions, just call or email. And the staff is always willing to answer any questions.
All right, why don't you give those numbers and that website address and then...
And the email.
Okay, sure. For email, it's northernspecialtyhealth@gmail.com.
Okay.
And our website is www.northernspecialtyhealth.com. And our telephone number is 1-area code 906-523-5122. And we're also on Instagram. We have a Facebook group. We're on Twitter. we can be found pretty much anywhere.
Okay. Thanks very much, Penny Milky. Good luck to you, and stay safe up there from Northern Specialty Health.
Thank you.
All right.
You too.
Okay. We'll be right back with another.
Take care, guys.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Penny.
We'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. Right now, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to MITechNews.tv.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Okay, we're back.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
And we have calling in. I'm sorry, Fred, we were on a commercial break when you called in. So we're out of break and we're on live again. And we have Fred Brown, who is our coronavirus expert. How you doing today?
I'm good, Mike. I'm good, Matt. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Listen, since we had you on last time, basically all hell has broken loose.
Yeah, something, huh?
It's going to get worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Fred is, such a very strong healthcare medical device background. I believe you're on the John Hopkins board of directors as well. I mean, you've got a tremendous amount of knowledge, and that seems to be the issue right now. We have a tremendous amount of, I don't know, fake news. I'm trying to be kind here. No one really knows what's going on. I'm not saying that you know exactly what's going on, but maybe you can help us figure out what needs to be done moving forward.
Yeah, is it testing? Is it? I mean, where are we falling short right now?
Well, if you think about there are two kind of big areas. The first area is in healthcare, and the second area is in the economy. So if we take the healthcare area, basically we're going through three phases. The first phase is detect and manage, that kind of started on January 30th, when we first confirmed the first case in the United States, and we first did that in Michigan March 10th, that moved to contact transmission management. And that's when the CDC issued a social distance policy on March 14th. And now we're more in community spread management. And that was first detected in Michigan, in March 20th. So we're starting to get into another phase of the disease state. And each phase impacts the next. Unfortunately, right now, if you poll the United States, about 62%, over half of us think this is a lot of hype.
Yeah, amazing,
but
huh?
The truth is, yeah. The truth is that our response is comparatively way too slow and way too small to be effective in the health area, and even worse in the economy area right now, unless we get our act together. So maybe we should go through some of those things in terms of detection. You mentioned detection. Basically, we should be testing over 1 million people every week in order to understand where the virus is, who's immune to it, even more importantly in many instances, because they've already had the disease and recovered from it without knowing it or having a small cold, and being able to get people back to work more quickly. So without detection systems, I know the government's saying, well, we're going to ration those right now, and that's what they're doing. They're saying we don't have enough of them. And so we're rationing detection and testing, but instead we should really be ramping up significantly our production of these tests and our expansion of the kinds of tests we're using. Right now we're using PCR tests. That should move to an ELISA test based on antibodies so you can actually see who's actually been exposed to the disease, not just who actively has it. So the fact that we're not using the military more effectively to actually come in, set up labs, run tests, produce more tests is a failure on our part. Most countries are doing that. They're actually, we're seeing generals out on the front lines, commandeering buildings, telling labs to do tests. We don't see that in the United States, and that's a mistake right now.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's the first area.
Yeah, I'm just amazed that we haven't activated the military. They have all this training. They have all these field hospitals. They have all these doctors, nurses, you name it, right?
Yeah, they should be out there testing. And in every public venue where you've got a significant number of people, like we saw that those people congregating in Daytona Beach or for the Cherry Blossom Festival, I mean, those should be cordoned off. Anyone who enters those kinds of venues should be tested for their temperature with a rapid temperature test. Anyone who has a temperature should be cordoned off and said, you go home now, and put into quarantine immediately. And the fact we're not doing that is going to really cause our response rate to slow and our death rate to increase compared to other countries. And that's a shame, because we do have a benefit in the United States. We're not as concentrated as a number of these countries, and we have a younger population than a lot of the countries in Europe especially. But because we're not responding to it quite as well as China did, I think we're ahead of UK and Italy, but behind in most other countries. We're gonna suffer on the detection side. And then, of course, we have to move to the contact transmission side. And there, the biggest issue is that we're not enforcing the boundaries and getting everyone especially the healthcare workers, getting them their protective equipment, which we've heard a lot of about.
Yeah, what should we be doing with the protective equipment that we're not now? I mean, I hear a lot of companies offering to produce protective equipment, but it takes a while to ramp up to that, right? I mean, we didn't become the arsenal of democracy overnight either. So, yeah, I mean,
that's right. Yeah, you're right. But we do have to, use external volunteer government military support as much as we can in order to ramp up our production of this personal protective equipment. I mean, right now we're running so low that we're going to start transmitting. The healthcare workers are going to get very sick very rapidly, probably at an 80% level, and then we won't be able to take care of the people who are sick. Because we're trying to learn now the protocols for how to disinfect used materials. That should all be federal government. So, I mean, the FDA should basically stop all of its other testing and focus on this issue. They should be developing protocols for decontamination of used equipment to pull us through. Right now, it's catch as catch can. That's dangerous and basically too slow to be meaningful on a health system that's so diffuse in the United States right now. So we have to really get that protocol ramped up so we know how to disinfect, and then we have to get a lot more production up and running very, very rapidly. That means 24-hour shifts. It means supply chains. It means raw material handling. It means not just the area you're hearing about, which is the N95 mask, but it's also gloves and gowns and shields that are so desperately needed. And especially the U.S. at a federal level should be understanding where the outbreaks are occurring. So we're not supplying, San Diego when all the outbreak is occurring in San Francisco. We're going to have a very spiky demand function here, and it needs to be coordinated centrally. And I'm not seeing that yet by the U.S. government. FEMA's starting to get involved, which is great, but it really needs a much more coordinated dashboard-based response saying, here are our goals, here are the metrics that we're using, here are the actual numbers on a day-by-day basis of what's going on with infection rates, what's going on with hospitalization rates, what's going on with death rates. It can be, I like what President Trump is doing and trying to get out the message fast as possible. That needs to be a much more professional, much more fact-based approach to this whole piece. It should look like a very well run military machine or a production facility like we would business.
And so it sounds right like a job for industrial engineering, maybe. Yeah. I mean, that's systems optimization and Six Sigma and all that good stuff,
Well, I know the auto industry wants to step in and do ventilators. I don't know how you can retool an auto plant to do ventilators because they're quite different, but I know that's been mentioned. And then also I know you don't want to get into politics necessarily, but we're waiting for the president to, I'm not sure, what's the proper term? It's like not the War Powers Act, but where he can.
That's what it's called, I think.
He can essentially militarize the industrial complex to do on a war footing. In this sense, it would be a war against the virus, right?
That's the Defense Production Act.
And thank you. Yeah, I knew there was a name for it. Yeah.
But he keeps saying, well, people are volunteering. The problem is that the voluntary actions are not sufficient. I mean, we're not You know, we need to have more facilities. We need to have people running 24-hour-a-day shifts. Right now, Honeywell and 3M are at capacity. So that means, and those are doing most of the N95, that's most of our capability at N95 masks. But the other big issue is the supply chain generally. You know, you're having bidding wars between states, and that has to change very rapidly, or you're going to, again, oversupply one area and undersupply the area that really needs it when the outbreak's occurring. So those are some of the things that the federal government needs to do fast.
Okay. So based on what we know now, how under capacity are we from a hospital standpoint? And what do we do about that?
Well, yeah. So every hospital in the United States should be requested immediately to increase their capacity by 100%. Hmm. These plans should be implemented and starting to be deployed April 1st. I mean, that's how fast we have to move. And they should be taking over hotels that have been abandoned. They should be taking over, convention centers. They should be able to say, if an outbreak occurs, here's our facility ready for taking on patients. Well, that should be every hospital in the United States.
That means
increasing ICU capacity by 300%. There should be plans in place to at least try to do that. And every hospital in the United States have plans in place to increase their capacity by 100%. Because what we're seeing is that where the outbreaks occur, we're going to have at least a twofold excess demand to what we can actually supply.
Well, I was thinking also all these colleges have shut down. All these dorms are empty.
That's right.
We could use they're perfect for a hospital setting, right, for a dorm room and all that?
Yeah, and what's nice about this is if we then – say, well, we're done with that facility. We don't need it. You can decontaminate the facility simply by abandoning it for 5 days, and the virus will die. So you're not talking about a tremendous impact downstream of this. We're just having the plans in place to be able to do it, and I think that's important to do. Then we have the economic piece, and there we're also not responding as fast and as deeply as we should. Basically, we're going to see a threefold contraction here. First, there's going to be an economic slowdown, then there's going to be job loss, and that's already occurred in spades, and then there's going to be wealth losses in 12 to 18 months. And the economic slowdown, I think overall, will be about $3.3 trillion of slowdown. That's about 62% of the economy is going to contract. Hmm. That's slightly higher than the Fed was estimating, about 50% this quarter. I think the next quarter, it will contract by another $1.3 trillion. By that point, the end of September, I think we'll be getting back to normal if we don't have a rebound of the virus. So we'll go through the process of the COVID progression will be we will have shutdown requirements because this virus is going to be so devastating through the mid to end of May. And then we'll start to see a slowdown in the transmission, and finally we'll be in control, in July, June, July. By August, I think we'll be in control again if there's no bounce back. And by September, we'll be able to travel and do things a lot more normally. So that's sort of the contraction levels that the economy is going to face over that work. Mm-hmm. There are some people saying, why don't we just wait 15 days and let everyone go back to work? I have faced those decisions in the past, working on the Ebola virus and other problems. And I can tell you that if you do that, things will get a lot worse very rapidly, and it'll cause an even worse overall impact. Even though it seems like it's a viable solution, when you're really faced with that decision, you find out that all you do is make the problem worse. Mm-hmm. So right now, the Congress is thinking about $1 to $2 billion and kind of 15-day segments. It needs to be three to 6 month segments of time intervals planned, and probably about I estimated about $4.3 trillion to enter the economy. Not 1 to 2 billion, $4.3 trillion.
That's pretty staggering. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a quarter of the GDP or something like that, I think.
Yeah, so. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not. That's not quite the full impact. This full impact will be $5 to $6 trillion.
Yeah.
But at least what we're doing on the health side is, I want to see, at Daytona Beach, I want to see tanks on the beach. I want to see mash tents on the beach. I want to see lots of kids, running around getting, self-controlling. That's what should be a wartime kind of response. On the economic side, it actually should be a natural disaster type response. So a little bit different responses. But in both cases, we're not doing as much and as fast as we need to, which means that we're going to have more deaths and more economic lag than we really should be facing, which is disappointing.
Okay.
We still have time, but we need to act fast.
All right, Fred. Well, next time we have you on, I want to book you for two segments.
Yes.
Because we're
out of
time.
That's the deal. Yes, there's lots to cover.
Okay.
Things are moving fast.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we're out of time, and I still got questions. I'm sure Mike does, too. But thanks so much for being with us today. Healthcare consultant and
coronavirus expert.
Yeah, infectious disease expert who's worked on stuff like Ebola before. So
HIV,
he knows this stuff.
A few things like that,
yeah,
right?
Just a few things.
Yeah.
Fred Brown, thanks for being with us today.
You bet. Bye now.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks, Fred. Thanks to all of our guests today. Penny Mielke from Northern Specialty Health, Matt
Bullock
from Tent Craft in Traverse City, and Justin Marshall, an online marketing expert. These are, as the Chinese curse says, interesting times.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll get less and less interesting over the weeks ahead. We do plan on being back here at next week at 2
yep.
o'clock Eastern time. It may be in studio. It may be virtually. It depends on how crazy things get.
I talked to the master blaster there,
okay.
Dave. And
we are 6 feet apart.
We are 6 feet apart.
And nobody's sneezing. So
nobody's
sneezing
yet.
And we are technically a media and
And we are media.
Company,
so. We're exempted.
We're essential?
We're essential.
Oh, my God.
Hey, how will the world live
without hate
listening
to
Bob and I drink and Babylon mics.
You know, burp and fart and everything
yeah,
else,
right.
you know,
oh,
so, anyway.
This is a classy show. We've got, you know, global pandemic and fart jokes here, you know? I mean, that's a great combination.
Well, you can have a little levity in there somewhere.
Yeah, and yeah. Honestly, the best part of our outro is one of our guests at one point said, I love you guys strictly for the fact that you spent 10 seconds talking about Mickey Rooney dying and then poop jokes for 10 minutes.
Well, anyway, so what we're going to do, though, is more of our coverage is going to shift towards the coronavirus issue because, of course, that's what everybody wants to know, and it's impacting – I can't think of any
everything.
Aspect of life that it's not impacting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we're going to try to do our best to keep you covered on that. And, of course, this morning, for those folks in Michigan, Jennifer Granholm declared
– Jennifer Granholm.
Oh, gosh, sorry. Governor Whitmer. Oh, yes, yes.
She'll take me back to the good
sorry,
old days.
Wrong female governor. I'm sorry, right. Governor Whitmer. But Governor Whitmer declared that we have to shelter in place for the next 3 weeks, except for
essential services.
Essential services.
Okay.
And
well,
one of those is cannabis and CBD and, of course, media.
So, and liquor stores.
And
liquor stores.
Yeah. So everybody use your hand sanitizer.
Yes.
Wash your hands until they're raw. Stay 6 feet apart.
Yep.
Don't go to the beach in Florida. God, those idiots. All right.
If you're listening to a song that you're going to wash your hands to, make sure it's not In a Gata De Vida. Right?
True.
So.
That would be painful.
The opening of Law and Order, SVU.
Yes.
The criminal justice system.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
That is exactly how long you're supposed to wash your hands.
Got it.
Okay.
Somebody measured it out.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
Now we know.
All right. Enough of that. So
thanks for
being with us today.
And we'll be back next week at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.